This is certainly a little bit different morning with Robin here and Pastor Buckley. Hopefully we're able to worship God together. Open your Bibles to Colossians 1:24. I want to thank you all that are praying for me. Everybody that's praying for me, I can feel those prayers and I really, really appreciate them more than you can know. Junior church. By the 10th week, I'll remember that. Everybody, sixth grade on down, can be dismissed. Everybody, nobody left. Oh. I know I do keep saying this, but I'm going to say it again. It is only by God's grace that I can stand here. Colossians chapter 1, verse 24. Paul's writing to the Colossians. Some of this should start sounding very familiar to all of us. Verse 24, this is God's word. Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I am filling up with what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for your sake, for the sake of his body, that is the church, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God that was given to me for you, to make the word of God fully known. The mystery hidden for the ages and generations, but now revealed to his saints. To them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom that we may present everyone mature in Christ. For this I toil, struggling with all of his energy that he powerfully works within me. For I want you to know how great a struggle I have for you and those at Laodicea, and for all who have not seen me face to face, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, to reach all the riches of full assurance of understanding and the knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Paul says he toils, that he is struggling with the energy of God that is powerfully working within him. Look back at the end of verse 28. That we may present everyone mature in Christ. In verse 1, for I want you to know how much I struggle, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, to reach all the riches of full assurance of understanding and the knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I'm no Paul. But the deeper the reality of abiding in Christ overcomes and touches my heart, the more I love you. And the more my longing is for all of us to reach the treasures of wisdom and knowledge that we have in Christ. I want you to know that I have toiled and I have struggled to bring the word of God to you in his power. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, there is nothing I can say to these people that will mean anything unless it is from your word. May your word come forth, dear Lord, in your power and in your spirit. Touch our hearts with it, Lord. Move us, shape us, conform us. Father, may we love you more because of the power in your word. I pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's go back in this passage and we're going to pick it up in chapter 2, verse 4. We've just read up to this point. This is continuing on. I say this in order that no one may delude you with plausible arguments. For though I am absent in the body, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the firmness of your faith in Christ. Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. Today I am going to proclaim Christ to you. I am going to teach you and I am going to warn you that we may mature together. This is the fourth message in our series this summer. The title is Abiding in the Reality of Christ, the Reality of Relationship. What we're going to look at are three things. We're going to look at the root of our relationship, the foundation, the root. We are going to then look at its sprout. We're going to look at a couple of the building blocks as the vine starts growing. We're going to look at two of those. But before we get started, let's set forth a couple of principles. We've set the foundation the last couple of weeks. Now we start our walk. So let's get some instruction. Look back at our passage in verse 6. Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. Remember how we received Christ Jesus our Savior. Ephesians 2:8 says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith." We need to then walk by grace through faith. There is no other way to begin our relationship with God other than by grace through faith. There is no other way for us to walk with God other than by grace through faith. Indeed, there is no other way to abide in the reality of Christ than to abide in the grace of God and through faith in God. This truth cannot be dismissed. This truth cannot be watered down or mingled with anything else or softened. This truth has to be part of us. I cannot overemphasize enough the importance of walking in the grace of God by faith in Christ. So let me ask you, how do we walk with God? By grace through faith. Let me ask you again, how do we walk with God? By grace through faith. The second instruction I'd like to bring as we start our walk is 2 Peter. Keep your fingers where we are and quickly turn to 2 Peter. How do we walk with God? By grace through faith. 2 Peter 3:18. This is the very end of his letter. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory now, both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. We grow in grace in the knowledge of the Lord. We walk by grace in faith. If we bring these two together, there is always, always grace first. Then we learn of God. We gain knowledge of God, and we believe, and we have faith in what we learn. Look back at verse 18. But grow in the grace and knowledge of, watch this now, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Not only do we grow in the grace and knowledge of our Savior, but we grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord. Listen now, if we want to mature in our walks, not only should we be growing in the grace and knowledge of our Savior, we need to be growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord. He is our Lord. Jesus is the Savior of our lives, but he is also the Lord of our lives. Turn back to our passage in Colossians. Later in this summer, in this study, we will learn about Jesus as Lord. But today, let's grow in the grace and knowledge of our Savior. Remember, we are looking at the relationship that we have with God. And this is the first point now, the root, the foundation of this relationship. Colossians 2, verses 6 and 7. Therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith. Rooted in Christ. Established in the faith. We are rooted in Christ. We are rooted in him. This is the very, very beginning of the vine. It is the root. We can't be in the vine if we're not in the root. We have to dig deep to get the root established. And notice what establishes us. It is faith. And by what? Grace. This has been what we've been looking at for the last 3 weeks. We have been digging deep. I don't believe there is any deeper you can dig than the truth of the fear of God. That is where we started. God is God, and he is deadly serious about his command for us to love him. Then we saw Jesus, the Son of God, come to the earth and take his sins upon him. And he was crucified, and he was killed, and he was dead in the ground. But God didn't leave him there. God raised him to life. This is where all the roots of the vine are. Wrath and mercy and love and faith and hope in Christ. It is faith in Christ. Christ dead on the cross. And Christ raised to power and glory by the might of God. By the grace of God. That is where we are rooted and established in the faith. We are rooted and we are established. We have faith in Christ and Christ alone. That is our root. Let's begin our walk. So that is the root, the foundation, faith in Christ. Let's look now at the sprout of the vine. What is first coming out of the vine, the building blocks of the vine. And the first thing that we need to know and believe is what we have in Christ. Let's look back at Paul's struggle in Colossians chapter 2, verse 1. For I want you to know how great a struggle I have for you and those at Laodicea and for all who have not seen me face to face, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, to reach all of the riches of full assurance and of understanding and the knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. God wants us to have understanding of the knowledge of his mystery, which is Christ. He wants us to know and believe that all the things that we have in Christ. He wants us to reach a place and we have full assurance of understanding of what we have in Christ. Because that's where all the riches are found. They're found in Christ. All of God's peace, joy, love, and all of the hope we have is found in Christ. All the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are found in Christ. So what does this mean to us? What does this have to do with the reality of our relationship with God? It has much to do with it. It actually has everything to do with it. Look a little further in Colossians chapter 2, verse 9. For in him, speaking of Christ, for in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily. And you have been filled in him who is the head of all rule and authority. Let's pause here. Jesus is full deity in the flesh. And we have been filled in him. That would be enough to study and meditate on for a month. But coming up is what I want us all to see. Verse 11. In him. In him. In Christ. Also, you were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands. By putting off the body of flesh. By the circumcision of Christ. having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God, who raised him from the dead. And you, who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in him. In Christ, we are forgiven by God. In Christ, the record of our debt, the record of our sin is canceled. Our sin is nailed to the cross with him. What does all of this mean? It means in Christ, we are forgiven. In Christ, we are cleansed. We are reconciled to the living God and now have a relationship with him. Turn to 2 Corinthians 5:16. I need to press on this truth a little more. If we are to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Savior, then there is a truth and a reality that we need to know and believe by his grace and live in faith. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 16 through 21. From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, and behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, making God his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. In him we become the righteousness of God. What does it mean to be righteous? To be righteous is to perfectly and completely conform to all of God's commands and appointments. In short, righteousness is godlikeness or godliness. No man to ever walk the face of the earth had self-righteousness. No one that ever walked the face of the earth ever conformed completely and perfectly to all of the standards, laws, and appointments of God. No one, of course, except for Jesus. And now we are in him. Jesus knew no sin, but became sin for us. Jesus became sin for us. We are made the righteousness of God. This message is about the reality of our relationship with God. In Christ, in him, we are reconciled to God because we are righteous before God. We must never, ever lose sight of this truth. No matter what, in Christ, we are righteous. We have Christ's righteousness. Not because of anything that we've done, but because of everything that he has done for us. We must walk by grace through faith in this truth. We are righteous in Christ. We've looked at the root, faith in Christ and Christ alone, and what we have in Christ, everything. We have everything in Christ, including reconciliation with God, a relationship with God. We are forgiven, and we are righteous in Christ. 3, we'll look at who we are in Christ. Who we are in Christ. Turn to our scripture reading in Romans 8. Romans chapter 8, we're going to start in verse 9. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. So then, brothers, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. We are adopted sons and daughters of the living God. He is God, and we are his children. We need to somehow wrap our minds around this. This is a truth that should be transforming us. Do we see ourselves as God's children? Do we understand that he deals with us as children? That he loves us as children? And he disciplines us as children. Our relationship with him is as father and son. Don't miss this. Don't miss this. We are to love God with all of our heart, in all of our soul, in all of our mind, in all of our strength. We must stop looking at this analytically. We must not have a clinical mindset, and dare I say, a religious mindset. Love is not words on a page. It is not a distant philosophy that we can't reach. Love, loving God is real. Loving is the ultimate reality of abiding in Christ. And that is only half the truth because we can love him. He loves us back. He loves us as children. And he loved us first. If you don't see this truth, if you don't get this reality, if you are not experiencing the love of God as his child, then you are missing everything. This is the sprout of the vine. This is the beginning and the end of abiding in Christ, loving him. We are in love with God. We are in love with our Father. Is your spirit crying out, Abba, Father? Brothers and sisters, abiding begins now. Not when we reach some point of perfection. Jesus is our perfection. Go to your Father in love and rest and abide in his arms. He just wants to love on you and teach you about his goodness. For all that are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. He is leading you to himself. Go there by grace and through faith in Christ and love. So we've seen that faith in Christ alone is our root. And then we see it starting to sprout, and we see what we are in Christ. We are reconciled to God. And we see that who we are in Christ is God's child. I said I was going to teach, and I said I was going to warn. Two warnings, and then we'll go to the conclusion. Not yet, though. Back to our original passage in Colossians. And while you get there, let me say this. God requires perfection. God requires righteousness. And here's the warning. Don't think for one moment you can do anything to be righteous on your own. And don't think for one moment you can add to the righteousness we have in Christ. Listen to God's word. God tells us this through Paul in Philippians 3. We'll get to Colossians in a moment. Just listen to this. Philippians 3, verses 8 and 9. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For this sake I have suffered for the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on our faith. It is by grace through faith that we are righteous in Christ. And here's the warning in our passage in Colossians that I've been skipping over. Start in Colossians chapter 2, verse 6. Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. And here's the warning. See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. There were heretics trying to undermine the completeness of redemption that we have in Christ. Verses 15 through 23, Paul gives more detail there, and I would encourage you to read through that later. But the basic warning of this passage, and it is in other places in Scripture, is not to fall back to the letter of the law. We walk by grace. Don't add anything to the gospel of grace. It is by grace through faith that in Christ we are forgiven. It is by grace through faith in Christ that we are righteous and reconciled to God. As God's righteous children, there is nothing we need to do to be near to our God. As God's righteous children, there is nothing we can do to be near to our God. Christ has done it already. We have Christ. As believers, we don't have to reach out in some distant place to find our God. We don't have to search through mystical haze to find our God. We don't have to chant. We don't have to kneel and face a certain direction at a certain time of the day. And we certainly don't have to follow rules and regulations. All we have to do is know and believe that Christ is in us. Our God is right here. Christ did it all. There is nothing we can add. Christ reconciled us to God. We don't have to do anything but believe. Don't let anyone put any barriers up. Don't let anybody deceive you. It is by grace through faith. You are in Christ. It is by grace through faith we are saved, that we are reconciled to God, that we are righteous. It is by grace through faith in Christ we are to grow and be built up in Him and to walk and indeed experience the love of God. Don't let anyone add anything to grace, including yourselves. Turn to our passage in Romans 8. We'll go to warning number 2. If you are not heeding warning number 1, if you are living in legalism and your faith is in what you do, if your faith is in anything but Christ alone, then to one degree or another, this warning is for you and me. Romans 8, 14 through 16. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Relationship is a noun. God is our Father. That is our relationship to Him. It is a child-father relationship. That is how we are related. Love is a verb. Can be a noun. In this case, it's a verb. Loving is what we do in a relationship. Are you being led by the Spirit of God to walk with God? Is your spirit in you crying out, Abba, Father? Let me put it to you this way. How many of you know the song, Jesus Loves Me? Probably everybody. I don't know it, because I didn't grow up in church, and we seem to never sing it as adults, so I don't know the song. But I do know the message of the song. Jesus loves me, this I know, because what? The Bible tells me so. Yes, the Bible does tell us of the love we have in Christ. However, if we are reading our Bibles, and we even understand in our Bibles that Jesus loves us, and we may even believe it, but if we are not led by the Spirit of God, if we are not experiencing the love of God, if our spirit in us is not crying out, Abba, Father, then we need to check our hearts. You can read, understand, and believe all you want of the Bible. But if you are not experiencing the love of God in the Bible, then you are missing everything. You are missing its purpose. Okay, let's wrap this up. I don't want to leave on a negative note. Our hope is real. Our God is real. And our relationship to love Him and be in love with Him is real. 3 quick passages. Turn to Galatians 4, and I'm going to read these other 2 while you're getting there. Ephesians 2:8, we've looked at this. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of your own doing. It is the gift of God. We got that, right? We are saved by grace through faith. And then our passage in Colossians says, therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. We receive Christ Jesus as Savior and Lord by grace through faith. But we are missing the next part of Ephesians. It is the gift of God. It is the gift of God. As you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. It is a gift of God. Walking with Christ is a gift. Our loving relationship with God as our Father is a gift from God. Our passage in Colossians 2:6-7 said this, I'll just read it. Therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. Rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. Abounding in thanksgiving. Don't you just love this? Does this seem like it's out of place to you? It did to me at first. Walk in Him, rooted and established in Him, in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. Abounding in thanksgiving. Is the Word of God touching our souls? Is the Spirit of God crying out in us, Abba, Father? Turn to Galatians. I hope you're there already. Galatians 4. I'm going to read this, and I pray and trust God's Word will touch our souls through this passage. Galatians 4:4-11. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. Formerly, when you did not know God, you were enslaved to those that by nature are not God's. But now you have come to know God, or rather to be known by God. How can you turn back again to the weak and worthless elementary principles of the world whose slaves you want to be once more? You observe days and months and seasons and years. I am afraid I may have labored over you in vain. But now that you have come to know God, or rather be known by God, abounding in thanksgiving, it is a gift, people. The God of gods and the Lord of lords looks upon me as His son. God knows me. I'm His child. I am His child. The God of the universe loves me. Abounding in joy, yes, I get it. And my prayer is for you to get it too. If we are going to abide in the reality of Christ, we are going to do it by grace, through faith, as His children. That is His gift to us. Let's pray together. Father, it's hard for anyone here to know the joy I have with tears coming out of my eyes, Lord, but those are tears of joy that I am Your son. Father, we praise You and thank You for this gift. What an amazing gift You have given us. You want us just to love You. That is abiding in You, is loving You and following You. May this be the sprout of the vine that we all abide in. May these truths that we went through today, Father, be sealed by Your Spirit in our hearts. And empower us then, Father, to have the faith to believe and walk in them. I thank you, dear Lord, in the name of Jesus. Amen.